देखी जाए श्री श्री रंगनाथ स्वामी भगवान की जय, श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय, श्री जगन्नाथ सुभद्रा बलदेव की जय, श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। हरे कृष्णा, नमः ओं विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नमिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Sunyavadi past chapter day. Don't sit near to the women. Come sit separately. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, Text Number 7. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Davo Vrsha Vatsarata.
Davo Vrsha Vatsarata.
Haridra Taila Rushitaha Vichitra Dhatu Barhasrag
Vichitra Dhatu Barhasrag
Vastra Kanchana Malinaha
Vastra Kanchana Malinaha
Gavo Vrsha Vatsarata
Gavo Vrsha Vatsarata
Haridra Taila Rushitaha
Haridra Taila Rushitaha
Vichitra Dhatu Bahasrag
Vichitra Dhatu Bahasrag
Vastra Kanchana Malinaha
Vastra Kanchana Malinaha
Gavo Vrsha Vatsarata
Gavo Vrsha Vatsarata
Haridra Taila Rushitaha
Haridra Taila Rushitaha
Vichitra Dhatu Bahasrag
Vichitra Dhatu Bahasrag
Vastra Kanchana Malina.
Vastra Kanchana Malina.
Gavaha.
Gavaha.
The cows.
Cows.
Vrshaha.
Vrshaha.
The bulls.
The bulls.
Vatsarataha.
Vatsarataha.
The calves.
Calves.
The calves.
The calves.
Calf. Calf. Govatsa, the children of a cow in English is called a calf, and in plural, calves. Calf also refers to the lower back part of your leg. So, we need an English class first here. The calves.
Calves.
So I see here a word, Hari, with a hyphen. So something to do with, in the book it's hyphenated. So something to do with Hari. Haridra.
Haridra.
Nothing in particular to do with Hari, the Supreme Lord. Not directly, everything's connected with him. With a mixture of? So what is it? Haridra. In Hindi, it's Haldi, Haridra. Haridra. It's a common word in Sanskrit. In Hindi, you may also say Haridra, no. In Ayurvedic preparations, you'll see Haridra, Churnam, things like that. With a mixture of turmeric, Taila,
Taila.
And oil. Rushitaha.
Rushitaha.
What does Rusha usually mean? Yeah. Anger. It's nothing to do with anger here. Their entire bodies smeared. Vichitra.
Vichitra.
Well, you all know that word. It generally means unusual, strange, but it also means varieties. special. It may be in Tamil. In Tamil it means special, not in Sanskrit. Or not. Decorated varieties of. Dhatu. Colored minerals. Barha. Shruk. Peacock feather garlands. So which part is the, there's Barhar and Shruk. Which part is the peacock feather and which part is the garland? Barhar is the Barha Pirang, you know that famous. And Shruk is common word for garland in Sanskrit, not in Hindi. Peacock feather garlands. Vastra.
Vastra.
That you all know. Vastra means cloth, yeah, so cloths. Kanchana.
Kanchana.
Gold, yeah, here it's given as golden ornaments. Malinaha.
Malinaha.
Being decorated with garlands.
Being decorated with garlands.
The cows, the bulls, and the calves were thoroughly smeared with a mixture of turmeric and oil, mixed with varieties of minerals. Their heads were bedecked with peacock feathers, and they were garlanded and covered with cloth and golden ornaments. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has instructed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 44, Krishi go raksha vanijam vaisha karma svabhavajam. Farming, cow protection, and trade are the qualities of work for the Vaishyas. Nanda Maharaj belonged to the Vaishya community, the agriculturalist community. How to protect the cows and how rich this community was are explained in these verses. We can hardly imagine that cows, bulls, and calves could be cared for so nicely and decorated so well with cloths and valuable golden ornaments. How happy they were. As described elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, during Maharaj Yudhishthira's time, the cows were so happy that they used to muddy the pasturing ground with milk. This is Indian civilization. Yet in the same place, India, Bharatavarsha, how much people are suffering by giving up the Vedic way of life and not understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. This verse I chose to speak on, as it is pertinent to the reason why we're all here together, which is we're here for attending a meeting regarding our ongoing Varnashram projects. Srila Prabhupada describes here, following the description of Vyasadeva, how the cows, bulls, and calves were so happy. Prabhupada says this is Indian civilization. There are rumblings, if not bellowings, from various quarters of our movement that Prabhupada, he didn't come to give Indian civilization. It's, well, in one sense, sarvopadi vinaya muktam, it's beyond. He came to give that which is transcendental, but very clearly he came to give Vedic culture, which can also be called Indian civilization, because in this Kali Yuga, on this planet, if there's any civilization, if there's any culture, it is that in India. Okay, I started speaking now, so don't disturb now. So we've come together to discuss this seemingly difficult task of re-establishing Varnashram communities. It seems difficult because the whole culture and way of life and mentality of people is so much different. It's changed. The whole world has become oriented around money. Not that people weren't greedy previously, but at least the Indian culture was meant for not enhancing that in propensity of greed, not only in India, but you'll find even in the even in many parts of the world, even today, people think it's just to be very interested in money is something. What's that? That's very low class. I looked in the Bhaktivedanta Veda base a few days ago, looking up Donald Trump, who you may know is the president, the new president of the United States of America. I saw in the 1980s, Back to Godhead, he's mentioned with the adjective egregious, which is a word that's becoming popular nowadays, although it's an old word, which means horrible, terrible, bad in the worst sense. And he said, because at that time there was no idea he'd be the president of America, but he was a businessman and he was promoting greed is good. So even many people, they didn't think that was good to promote that. Even in America, Back to Godhead magazine, published from America, even in America, they didn't think that such a brazen announcement, yeah, be greedy, make lots of money for yourself, even they didn't think it was good. But that is the culture which is more and more dominating the world. And in this atmosphere, we're supposed to establish the Ishavasyam idam saravam yakincha jagatang jagat tena tyak tena bhunjita magridha kasya swiddhanam. The consciousness of everything belongs to God, we're put here by Him, take what you need, nothing more, that's all. That's the consciousness. So it's difficult, but Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that Varnashram in India can any time be easily revived. You must remember reading that. And you may think, well, it's not so easy, but if you compare to the West, still, India is much better. That's one good thing you get from going to the West, isn't it? Where you're thinking, oh, India is just so bad, it's getting worse day by day. You go to the West and you come back and you think it's like coming to the heavenly planets. It's so much better. Still, it's a great struggle. Now, there might seem to be some kind of dichotomy among devotees in setting up these projects, because we see that Srila Prabhupada, when he was personally present, he was encouraging his disciples, get out there, distribute books, be dynamic, do something for Krishna, which very much, turn your cell phone off. Prabhupada didn't say that. I'm saying it on his behalf. Turn your cell phone off. Turn your cell phone off. Everyone has a cell phone except me. Little boys, they have cell phones. In this country, they would have, right? So most in Surat, all the boys of his age. How old are you? 10? 8. Most boys 8 years old, they must be having, is it? In Surat, at least. Samrid, Surat. So, Srila Prabhupada harnessed that American energy, that idea. Get out and do so. I don't think Americans have that energy anymore. They just sit in front of a TV and just a nation of couch potatoes. But Srila Prabhupada himself certainly had a lot of energy. It took a lot of energy to get this Krishna conscious movement. And he wanted devotees to get out in the world, do something for Krishna. Prabhupada, in America, he was in India, he brought American devotees and he said he wanted to build these temples. And he said, what's the use of your being American if you can't do something big for Krishna? So he really harnessed that spirit, that mode of passion, do something, make something of yourself, be a success, which is very much promoted in India today. You don't hear it in the West, anyone talking about being a success and this and that. It's only in India they talk all this nonsense of being a success. They're past that phase in the West. It's just, you know, what do you have to be a success for? You get money's there, just drink and take drugs and have sex. Why do you want to be a success woman? The rich people and the poor people, they're all doing the same thing. So what do you need to be rich for? When you're completely intoxicated, it doesn't matter whether you have $1 billion or no dollars. And if you're intoxicated all the time, then what do you need money for? Somehow or other, you get some intoxication. So Prabhupada called for dynamic, heroic preachers. Get out there, do something. On the other hand, in his purports, we often find that it's this standard depiction of a sadhu, santushta satatam yogi. That's in the description of devotees in the 12th chapter. A yogi, a devotee, is always satisfied. And the idea of the farm community is that you sit on the farm and you be content and chant Hare Krishna. And you're not running here and there, I have to do this, I have to do that. Last time in the meeting I was warning the devotees, don't bring your mode of passion. Go do something more. It's not enough to sit here. We gotta produce more, make some more money, build this, do that. Okay, we need a little for starting, but the aim should be just sit down and be content with whatever the land gives you, and the land will give abundantly. Prabhupada quotes this. What is that? What is that verse? Sarva kama dudhamahi. The earth will fulfill all your whatever you need. Sarva kama dudhamahi. The earth will give you all what you need. She'll give. You don't have to think doing more business. Do this. Just relax. Just be happy to sit and chant Hare Krishna. To get up every morning, chant Hare Krishna. To do your work, whatever it may be. You may be a farmer or a teacher or a carpenter or an astrologer or whatever you may be. In the simple, just be like that. Just be happy. Not that the children, it's boring here. We want to go out to the city and do something, get on a motorbike, and get into the high mode of passion and drive it as fast as you can. Just be content. Sattva gun. So it might seem like a dichotomy that on the one hand, we're active preachers, on the other hand, what are we preaching? That just be content to chant Hare Krishna. Live simply, chant Hare Krishna. You don't need to be in this horrible city. You can live peacefully on the land. So it's a bit of a different mood. Not a bit of a different mood, it's quite a different mood. Of course, even the dynamic preacher, it's not... If he's doing that in Rajogun, then it's not going to last. He has to be underlying that. Has to be a sense of santushta satatam yogi. Has to be content within himself. Why? By virtue of Krishna consciousness. He's trying to do something for Krishna, but ultimately everything is in the hands of Krishna. So he's working hard, dynamic, new things to do, new plans, going here, doing this, doing that. But he also has to do his daily sadhana, otherwise everything will just collapse in due course. Collapse, and that's what happens. Civilizations build up and they collapse. Comes up with Rajaguna, and Rajaguna increase, then it collapses into Tamaguna. Rajaguna has to be purified and come up to Sattvaguna. Sattvaguna will maintain. Otherwise, Rajaguna will go to Tamaguna and destruction. So it doesn't stay still. The modes of nature are always in flux. And especially in Kali Yuga, the tendency toward the Tamaguna is very strong. So it will all collapse. So a devotee may be very actively preaching, but has to have regular sadhana, hearing and chanting about Krishna, worshipping the deity, studying shastra, and regulated rising early, all these things. So this preaching is meant for bringing people to the consciousness of how to live their human life. Srila Prabhupada wrote these purports. That's another idea that, well, Prabhupada, he said all these things, he gave all these things in his books, but what? I don't know. The point, Prabhupada's writing about this because he wants us to establish this. It's not that he wrote it and it's just something that, well, you know, he didn't have anything better to do, so he wrote some purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. But this is a message to the world, that this is how human life should be led. Cool down, calm down. No need to always have to be doing something, running here. If you can peacefully sit and chant Hare Krishna, that's a great achievement. to actually be peaceful, not that I have to, I already chanted half a round and I got to get up and do something. Okay, chant, just chant, chant, go on chanting, go on chanting. Of course, there are things to be done also. Krishigo Raksha Vanija doesn't mean that you're just sitting and chanting Hare Krishna. This means there's work to do also. So understanding all that, that's another, there's so many misunderstandings. I'll just sit and chant Hare Krishna. Don't disturb me, I'm chanting. But then if you're chanting and all the prasad served out, there's none left. Well, why didn't you tell me? Oh, you said not to disturb you. For that you can disturb me. So we have to see. Chanting can also sometimes be an excuse for avoiding what's to be done. And again, as I said in our last meetings, it obviously requires a lot of energy to get these projects going. But then once they're going, they should just continue to go on. And as I've said many times, we won't live to see if these projects are successful, because we can say they're successful if our grandchildren are still living in the same place. That will be the success. So we may not see. If they're grandchildren, they grow up in the community and they don't have any idea, I have to go there, I have to go somewhere else, I want to... Of course, the girls may be married off to another community, but you just stay there, as people did for so many generations. You're born and raised in the same place that your father, your grandfather, great-grandfather goes back. Therefore, we have the term ancestral home. So that's Indian civilization, which needs to be re-established. But in some, even though we can say in some ways we won't live to see if it's successful, but in other ways there's some successes there already. We won't see if devotees, the children of our children, will be still living on the farms established in, say, 50 years. We may not see that. But even that, you've been there for 5 years. Or how long you were the first to go?
5 years.
5 years. Well, that in itself is some achievement for someone to come. After going up the ladder in the corporate world and getting a good job and having respect and money and all this thing, to say, forget it. I'm going to go and live on the land and chant Hare Krishna and raise my family. That's already an achievement, that devotees are living like that. That because before these communities were started, there was widespread disbelief that anyone could do this, or that anyone would join these communities, or that we could even do it at all. So some success is there, that we're going on. And some success is there also in our Gurukul there in Salem, that all the boys who stayed with us for a few years, now it's restarted, but they've all come out, and at least so far they're all doing full-time service. They came out. There one, oh, he's also there. That one boy's with the Padyatra. They're all doing service, and with the exception of maybe one, they're all taking Krishna consciousness very seriously. They haven't thought, well, now I'm old enough, I can go and get a job and buy myself a motorbike, and they're not doing that. They're in devotional service. So some success is there already. So in these meetings, we're coming together to see how to go forward, what are our next steps, how to continue to do things in such a way that things will work, how to avoid pitfalls that are on the way. There's so many farm projects in ISKCON which haven't worked properly. We should see what's the wrong step that they took and not make the same mistakes. In Kali Yuga, to do anything, even good, what to speak of spiritual, is very difficult. If you want to be a rascal, a demon, or just a small-time jerk, it's very easy in Kali Yuga. If you want to be good, if you want to do something which is pleasing to Krishna, the modes that are prominent in Kali Yuga, they don't foster that. Of course, there's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the general atmosphere, one has to catch on to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, take it very seriously. Otherwise, the whole atmosphere is degraded and degrading more and more. Chanudan dinam dharma satyam shocham shamadaya kalena balena rajan nangshan jayur balang smitihi. With the passing of every single day in this Kali Yuga, dharma, religious principles, will decline. Truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, compassion, bodily strength, mental ability, lifespan, they all decrease day by day. Anything that's all good qualities will decrease day by day. If these farm projects are continue to be successful, we have to keep Kali, the personality of Kali, out. Kali means quarrel. Something can go on very well for quite some time, but in Kali Yuga, just the Kali can enter and the whole thing can be spoiled very quickly. That's true even in our own individual spiritual lives. We can be doing seemingly well, and then something comes in the mind, and then one no longer desires to serve Krishna. We've seen it many times. Devotees are going on strongly and seem to be doing very. All of a sudden, some thought comes, or someone plants a thought in their mind, and then all of a sudden they don't have faith in Guru and Krishna or Krishna consciousness, or they just something, and then it seems that you can't do anything or say anything to them. They just lose the track. They become a different person. They become matichanna. They become as if their consciousness has become covered. Pishachi pai le jena mati channa hoy. Maya grasta jivar hoy she bhavudai. Yes, someone who is in Maya, it's like as if they're haunted by a ghost. They become just bewildered. So we have to keep out of our communities also. Where is Kali? When in sinful activities and in money. Money can spoil, as the famous saying of Lord Jesus is that money is the root of all evil. But that's not exactly what he said. You've heard that? The money is the root of all evil, famous saying of Jesus. But that's not exactly what he said. The saying is the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a subtle but important distinction. The love of money is the root of all evil. In this Prapanamrita of Ramanuja, the life of Ramanuja, I remember reading years ago, it was an old edition with the Sanskrit. Then, if you see the English edition now, there are some things cut out of there, such as his having all the Jains killed. One of them is the Sarva Papa Karanam Stri. There's one statement there. Woman is the cause of all sinfulness. But specifically the word used there is stri, which is gives the idea of a woman with the mentality of expanding one's material situation. Otherwise, Devahuti or Kuntis, they're not the causes of all sinfulness. But that mentality of ato griha kshetra sutapta vitaya janasya mohoya mahammameti. That let's now we have to have house and car and land and prestige and this greed, fostering greed, possessiveness. Money is the root of all evil. Or no, the love of money. These communities, as much as possible, if we can keep money out, that would be good. That'll make Narendra Modi happy also. Of course, he'll want us to have little tax machines to tax everything we do. Who's going to be the one to make a device on the number of breaths you take, and then you get taxed for the air you breathe also? That may come, because you said air tank. You see, the air is polluted, and we have to take measures to make it breathable so that you don't drop dead and you can go on working in our factories. So we have to spend money to make this, to make the air pure. So you have to pay for the air that you breathe, to finance the air cleaning program. It's you never know. No one could ever imagine that water you'd have to pay for. No one could even imagine that milk you'd have to pay for. Even in my lifetime, we never imagined that we'd have to pay for drinking water. So money, as much as possible, if we keep it out. There's a whole mentality that goes with money. I did this, I should get back this much for doing it. So that every single action, you do some work, you get some money. And that money becomes the power by which you can buy things, and the whole mentality is to buy for your enjoyment. The traditional societies all over the world, but particularly in India, that idea was in Varnashram Dharma. It's not I did something so I require to get something back. The smith made some or repaired your device, your farm, your plow, so you should pay him. No, that's what he does. He's in the village and his job is to make implements, farming and other tools, and then to repair them. You've maybe seen in that Upakhyana Upadesh of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, instructive parables. You give the blacksmith some iron, and then he has to make some implement. Why do you give him the iron? Why doesn't he supply? The person gives it to him and he makes it. You don't pay him. He just makes it, that's all. We need a tool, the blacksmith makes it. And then there's an arrangement that after the harvest he gets so many bags of rice or whatever. There's an arrangement, a regular arrangement. He gets what he needs and he does what he needs to do for the community. And there's no question of massive economic development, because you're anyway, you're only in the village. So there's no use to get, the farmer doesn't need 10 plows. He may need 2 or 3 for different kinds of soil and different kinds of things you want to do with it. And there you've seen the plow, they're very, very simple, traditional plows. Sometimes just one, I don't know what that's called. Does anyone know what that's called in any language? The bit that goes in the ground and turns it over. The activities that people do, they're just what's required. That's all. And it's not that you force people to do more and more and more. There's no point. The barber shaves your head, if he shaves your head, or at least the face, once a month, maybe twice a month. There's some agreement, isn't it? And that's all. And then he gets his... So there's no, I did this, so I have to get that. No, you do it. That's your dharma to do it. That's all. That's all. There's no money. If I do more, then I get more pay, and then I can buy more. There's nothing to buy. I can buy more things. There's nothing to buy. The Vaishyas, they have some dealings in money. They have to bring things from outside the community also. And they'll take things from the community to sell. But generally the idea is, why do you do... Okay, you're the barber's shaving the face. Why is he doing it if he's not getting paid? Dharma is what he's supposed to do, that's all. That's all. Dharma, that which harmonizes, the idea of dharma, that which harmonizes the whole universe, and it harmonizes human society, not in an abstract way, but in a very practical way. But if we bring money in, then I do this much, I grow this much crops, I get that much money, that's for me, for my family. But the Vaishya, he grows and he gives to all the village, to everyone. Not just for himself, he has to feed everyone. If we have money consciousness, then everything becomes impersonal. Instead of everyone just working together, doing what this, then, oh, this is for me. I want to get more than you. You are my competitor. Instead of interdependence, that everyone's working together, the barber does what he's supposed to do, the teacher does what he's supposed to do, the priest does what, then everyone's just, okay, I do what I do, you have to pay for everything I do. Everyone's on their own, or just their, me and my family, that's all. And then there come, instead of bringing people together, that we're all here to work together, and ultimately for Krishna, that's the real unifying principle in the community. Everything's done for Krishna's pleasure. But instead, everyone, it disintegrates people, because I did this for you, you have to give something for me. And then the consciousness comes, let me do as little as I can and get as much as I can out of it. So the carpenter has to make a chair to sit, but he does it just in a very perfunctory way, so that after 2 weeks it's falling to pieces. He got his pay. He got paid for it, so of course in the village you couldn't get away with that so easily. But in a city you can sell some rubbish things. and then who's to complain? Or if you call people to make something, put some windows in your house, and they can just put the screws in anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they're straight or not, whether they're in properly or not. You do the job, you get paid, finished. Then you go. And you don't care whether the window closes properly or whether it falls off. What do you care? You got paid. So this kind of attitude is not, it's not conducive for even material benefits of society. And what to speak of, if you have this kind of attitude, how are we going to serve Krishna? Just, oh, I have to do the arati. And the same thing will come, paid pujaris. So I have to do 5 aratis a day. Okay, just thinking, let's get this over quick. There's a cricket match on the TV. I want to get back to it. They may be thinking like that because it's paid. Story I heard some time ago, because they in London, in England, they thought it'd be easier because of all the laws to run the temple in such a way that everyone's an employee for legal purposes. It's just otherwise there's so many liabilities if they're part of a voluntary organizer. So okay, everyone gets some minimum wage. So comes Janmashtami, Vyasa Puja, day after Vyasa Puja, the pujari comes and says, I was up to midnight, I was doing overtime, you have to pay me overtime. The consciousness comes, not, oh, I had the opportunity to serve Krishna, some extra. No, you have to pay me. What meant the mentality? And you can't deny, it's a legal arrangement, contract, according to the laws of the country. So this money consciousness, Kali enters automatically, greed. This is my money. Even the Vaishya, he has that tendency. But especially the agriculturalist, he grows food for everyone, and not just for himself. So Srila Prabhupada said that farming is the noblest profession. You grow food and then you feed others. The Vaishyas, they come from the stomach of the Virata Purush. But they also feed the stomachs of everyone else. See that everyone is healthy like that. Money fosters grief and anxiety. If I don't get, oh, I have to get enough money. Oh, what am I going to do if I don't get enough money? No, you do your dharma, and dharma rakshati, rakshita, done, rakshitaha. You do dharma, and Krishna, he is dharma, you see, everything gets done nicely. But a whole system has to be in order. The king has to be proper. King himself has to be a saintly king. Especially at the top, the leadership, the brahmanas, the kshatriyas, if they exploit their position, of their privileged position, then everyone else, they become distrustful of them. Then they emulate that exploitive mentality, and we end up with society like we have today, where no one's content, everyone's in anxiety. Anxiety, where will I get enough money? And anxiety that because the atmosphere is permeated with greed and distrust and then violence, increasingly all over the world, no one in any situation can feel safe. You can just be out shopping in the market and a bomb goes off and kills you. It's anywhere, anytime. Terrorism is there, more and more. This is the situation in Kali Yuga. It's the money consciousness. Of course, we could analyze it from various perspectives. But I'm just emphasizing this now because this spirit to foster, that we have faith. These Varnashram communities, it depends a lot on faith, that we'll come here and we'll chant Hare Krishna and we'll work. It's not that, it's not a retirement home or some place you can just it's go away and get away from the city means I don't have to work. Definitely work is there. But the faith that if we work honestly, sincerely, Krishna will provide everything and we'll be happy in Krishna consciousness. So that faith, we have to foster that. But this envy and quarrel, which is predicated on money, I want to get more money than you, or why have you got more money than me? Envy. The Shudra should not envy the Vaishya who has more money than him. The Brahmana also should be very peaceful to live in poverty and not envy the those who have more money. Of course, the Brahmanas, they may be given charity. Their duty is to accept it, but they also give dana pratigraha. They don't keep more than they need. There's so many instances in the sacrifice. The king gives the whole earth, the Brahmanas, and they give it back and say, okay, it belongs to us. You look after it for us. We don't. It's not our job to manage huge properties and this and that. To be content. Santushta satatam yogi. To be content. Krishna has given me this. All right, I'll live with this. Krishna gave me this much. We'll live with this. By Krishna's arrangement, I'm married to this person. All right. Whatever they are, they may be not exactly what I might have dreamed of, but all right, whatever. Not that, throw this one out, get another one, don't like this wife, get another one. Well, maybe we'll get another one, and polygamy is also allowed, but it's not encouraged except for dharmic purposes. As Krishna married many wives, for dharmic purposes, 16,100 queens, he married to protect them, not to exploit them or enjoy. Anyway, that's another whole topic. But the whole idea that it just, okay, Krishna gave it, just be content with that. But to set up a communities in which people can live and be content, that's a great endeavor. That's what we're discussing. It's good to be discontent with the city life because it militates against even being human. There's this some slogan that was in fashion for a few years. I think it's going out of fashion now. Being human. The name of some company or something. But if they're being human, they should... what are they? Being rakshasas. I don't know what it is to be a human. This modern city life is, it's a sign of intelligence to be discontent with it. So to set up these communities in which we can live peacefully requires a lot of thought and a lot of endeavor, a lot of chanting Hare Krishna and praying to Krishna. Keep envy and quarrel, we have to keep these out. Self-interest, what I want. We have to see what's for the whole community benefit, not just what I want, what I think. Let's see what's best for the whole community. Not putting yourself first, putting what's the interest of the whole community. Otherwise, we've seen on one of our farms, we've already seen that devotee, different families, they're quarreling with each other over the water because there's only a limited water supply. There was an experiment for some time of how, okay, let's do it on a cash basis and then everyone will become more enthusiastic to work hard if they're going to They grow the crops and then they can do what they like with it. They can sell it or whatever. So they're living on the land and they're chanting Hare Krishna, but the economic model is one of, this is your land, you grow the crops and you earn money from that. And then immediately, yeah, they're working harder, but for the wrong motive, and then quarreling and this and that. So these are the kind of things we have to discuss as we step forward. But if we chant Hare Krishna, we're promised in Bhagavatam, then even with our eyes closed we won't slip. But better to keep the eyes open. Not say, okay, Hare Krishna, I'm going to... It's not that Krishna says you walk around with your eyes closed. But he says that even if normally someone would slip, Krishna will protect you. I just heard something from a hadith. It means the saying of Muhammad. He says, you pray to God for help, that's good. But first of all, you tie up your camel. In other words, it's not that you just pray to God and then you just don't make any endeavor and you don't apply any intelligence. First, before you do your prayers, you tie up your camel. Otherwise, the camel will run away. So, in other words, be God gave us intel, not just, just chant Hare Krishna. Whatever happens is okay. To be content doesn't mean to live in foolishness. Of course, if one may be a completely niskinchan sadhu with no care for the world, but that's not our directive from Prabhupada. Our directive is to preach and to set up these communities. So we have to apply intelligence and pray to Krishna for the proper intelligence to be able to do that. So Hare Krishna, I'll finish there. Thank you all very much for coming. Thank you all for participating in these communities. I can thank you on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So the next session is at the meeting will actually begin at 10:30. 11:30. At the place where I'm staying. So we'll continue there with discussions. And you're going to give us printouts. Do you have them already here?
Yes.
Okay. So give us printouts, those who want them, of the agenda. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
You want a question? Okay, I may answer briefly. Otherwise, discussion part comes in the meetings.
Teaching,
should we also consider that first their passion should be channelized in something more active teaching rather than directly diverting them to Varnashrama community and e-commerce or first?
And that's the kind of thing to discuss in a meeting. Practical application.
In the Jogpeet. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur established that temple, and the rule, as in every temple, is that born brahmanas should worship there. So in the beginning, he didn't have any disciples, he didn't have any followers, so he had to pay pujaris. But nowadays they still follow that, but they're Gaudiya Math initiates, or Chaitanya Math initiates to be more precise. Hare Krishna.